Okay, Rabbeisai, today's daf is daf Yud Beis, and we're starting from the very top of the Amud. And today's Gemara is going to be jam-packed with all halachas applying to what you may and may not do on Chol HaMoed, and at times we'll even talk about what you may or may not do on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, either directly or through Gentiles. So we'll start the daf. The kabli kiboilis means that you hire a goy to work for you. Bikablonis. What means bikablonis? You don't give him a specific date when he has to go and finish the work, but you just tell him in general, I need this job to be accomplished, to be performed, and he can do it whenever he wants. So what's the halacha then? Betoichat chum oser. Chutz l'tchum is mutter. So Shmuel tells us something which is very nogea l'halacha. If you happen to ask a goy to go and do anything for you, we know that a goy working for a yid on Shabbos or on Yom Tov is amir l'akam, which is prohibited. You can do b'derech remez if there's a tzoyrech, but we're not going into those halachas now. If you go and ask a goy to go and do something for you and you pay him, such as build a building for me, if you stipulate with him that he should work 7 days a week, including on Shabbos, that's certainly prohibited. The goy is not allowed to do that work for you. But if you tell him, I want you to go and build this building, you can do it in a year, 11 months, so, you know, I leave it to your time frame, I leave it to your time schedule. So then, the goy, if he's working on Shabbos, he's not doing it for you. Because as far as you're concerned, just work on Sunday through Thursday, Thursday through Friday, and you don't have to work on Shabbos. So the goy is working on Shabbos for his own benefit, because that works fine for his work schedule, for his employees. So Ikra Din, it's okay, because he's not doing it for me, he's doing it for him. I told him you got plenty of time, you know, I'm not, no rush, no pressure. Do it whenever it's good for you. So if he wants to do it on Shabbos, it's okay. There is a Maris Ayin problem, and Ariel is not happy with this Maris Ayin problem. Maris Ayin means that people may suspect, that in fact he did contract with this individual to work on Shabbos, which is prohibited. But it's not only that people will now have a negative view of that Yid and say, look, he's a Mechal Shabbos, he has Goyim working for him, it's terrible. It's also we don't want people to learn from that by example. And they say, oh, Rabbi Yankel Smith, what a chosh of a yid. And he has goyim working for him every single Shabbos, building and blah, blah, blah. So apparently this is permissible. And they don't know that it's done through kablonis, meaning under this type of framework where there is no time pressures. And the goy is doing it on his own. And people will learn from that to be Mekel and Hilcha Shabbos. And therefore, if the Mekabli Kibbutz have a Toicha Tchum, within the Tchum, so Jews that live here in the community see what's going on Shabbos, that Frank Jones and company are working and building this property on behalf of Yankel Smith, then it's Osir, because people say, well, what's going on? We'll learn from that. If it's Chutz Tchum, nobody can get there, nobody knows where it is, it's somewhere out in the boondocks, and it's nowhere near the community, then it's mutter, because nobody sees it, nobody goes there, nobody knows. It's fine. This is all talking about Shabbos and Yom Tov, as we'll see in a moment. Omer HaPapa v'afil l'chutz l'tchum, even chutz l'tchum le'amor el deleka mosa de mekar v'lehosem. That's taka when it's in the boondocks, in other words, not near any regular civilized, not civilized, but settled city where people are living. Even though it's outside of the Tchum in our city, but if it's next to another town or another city, then it's also because the people in that town, in that city, see that there is a building development, and they're asking, hey, who's building that building development? That's, you know, Frank Jones and company. For whom? Oh, it's for Yankel Smith. Oh, yeah, Yankel Smith and Shabbos. Blah, blah, blah. So they have the exact same concern, even though it's Chutz L'Tchum, because it's Chutz L'Tchum of our city, but it's Petrechat Chum of another city. Omer Mesharshia, b'chileka mosad mekar v'lohasam nami lo yamarin. Even if there is no town or community within the tchum near that building, ela b'shemosad b'yom tov. This only applies in Shabbos and Yom Tov. T'leishchichi in shidas lihasam. How would anybody get to that building development if it's out of the tchum of all the neighboring communities? It's out somewhere in the desert, and somewhere far away from any settled city or town. That works in Shabbos and Yom Tov. Abachol Yishol Moed, the Shrichi in, Shidi Azli, V'yasi, L'hasam, and Chol Moed, everybody's free to go and travel around. People are going to go by car and by horseback and by camelback, and they're going to pass by that development, and they're going to see, oh, Frank and Jones, oh, who's Frank and Jones doing it for? For Yankel Smith. Oh, and it's on Chol Moed, they're working Chol Moed. Oh, says he, more than it's Osir. So even though it's Chutz L'Tchum, that Chutz L'Tchum only helps for Shabbos and Yom Tov, it doesn't help for Chol Moed. So, obviously we're talking about a situation where there was no particular tzorech to go and build it on Chol Moed, like we had in our first Mishnah. It's only if you have a Beis HaShlochen that requires the rain, that needs the rain, otherwise you have no right to irrigate it. You can't go and irrigate a Steh HaBaal on Chol Moed. So you're now going to go and build buildings on Chol Moed. There's no need. It's not going to be finished before the end of Chol Moed, and therefore it's going to be finished in 6 months, in a year, or whenever it's going to take. So you're now going to do that on Chol Moed, even through a goy. So me'ikra din bekablonis, it would be okay. But because of the maris ay in effect, we say no good. And now the Gemara tells us a story. The marzutra bereder of Nachman bonu le'apadna mekable ki boilis chutz l'tchum. Marzutra bereder of Nachman, they built on his behalf an apadna. Apadna means a nice home. Who were the builders? Goyim, who were mekabli kiboilis, who had this type of arrangement, and it was chutz l'tchum. So nobody was able to go and see the fact that it was being built on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. And therefore, would we say at the top of the Ovid that if it's chutz l'tchum and it's not within a tchum of another neighboring city, we said that's okay. But nevertheless, Iklad of Safav Rav Huna Bar Chinina, and they were invited, come on into the new home of Marzitra, Floy Oligabe. And they refused to go inside. Not only that, there's another version that who nami loy ol begavei, that even Marzutra himself did not go inside his own home because he was upset that the goyim worked on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Meaning that Marzutra presumably had put into the contract, and I don't want you guys to work on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. And afterwards he found out that they had, even though it was chutz l'tchum, and even though it was v'kablonis, but Marzutra wanted to be machmir al atzmoy, not to have any benefit from work performed on his behalf, on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, even though it was done by a goy, and even though it was done without authority, nevertheless, he wanted to be machmir, and as the Gemara is going to say in another three lines, because Odom Choshev Shiny, a person who happens to be a distinguished member in the community, especially if he's a Rav, a Rosh Hashiva, a Rebbe, or whatever, so then people will learn from him, and then even the perception of an impropriety should be avoided. Well, let's get back to your question one moment. Says the Gemara, didn't we say at the top of the Amid? Then the Kabbalah Kibbutz Matoichat Chum is Osmeh Chutzlet Chum is Mutter, and this was Chutzlet Chum. Everything more Adam Choshev Shiny, like we just said. When you have a Choshev, a person, he has to go and have a higher standard because people look to him with respect, and they said, "Oh, if he did it, then I can do it." Or if he did it, it shows the traitors and the rabbis know how to find loopholes. They know what to do, and then and therefore it could come out of Chil Hashem. And the reason for this Gemara, therefore, it fits in very nicely, because yesterday's Amud Beis, we also ended off with the same concept of Adam Choshev Shain. You had a question, Ariel.
So, Marzutra, then, was this a second home that they were working on? Because if it was a first home, he didn't go into his own house on Shabbos, so he slept on the street?
What the Gemara is telling us is that Marzutra didn't go into his home at all, and presumably he sold it to someone else to go and use, because he wasn't going to be Nehenna, he didn't want to have the benefit of the work of the Goy on his behalf. Again, the Gemara doesn't tell us the details, but that's the presumption, that according to this Ikka D'Amri, that he himself didn't go into his own home, that he must have sold the home or given the home to somebody else and said, it's yours, not mine, I don't want to have any Hanoah from this type of work. There's a book that came out recently about Moshe Reichman, Zichron Levracha, who was the head of Olympia New York, and it said in all of the Olympia New York contracts with their general contractors or their subcontractors, it always stipulated no work anytime on the following days, and they would list every day of Shabbos and of Yom Tov and of Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah and whole bunch
Friday
of
afternoons also after
they were very makbid. Yeah. So one of the contractors came to them and said, You know, it's either your religion or it's your it's the contractual date. But the two cannot work in tandem. If you've given us a date that we have to go and finish, then you have to let us work on those dates. If you don't want us to work on those days, then forget about the date. You know, it's your religion or your business. You just can't go together. So one of the Reichmen said back to him, it's not that we work despite our religion. Our success is because of our religion. And so therefore, every day of the religion is very, very important. When I was a lawyer many, many years ago, and we represented trustees for a debt, for public debt that was issued by Olympia in York, there's always a standard phrase in all of these contracts defining the word business day. And therefore, it would say, in every one of these debt instruments, it would always say, when I say everyone, means any company whatsoever from A to Z, that if the date of interest payment, a semi-annual, a quarterly interest payment, comes out on a non-business day, then you have to go and pay. Then they're only required to make the payment the next day. So if your normal semi-annual interest payment comes out twice on June 30th, and June 30th is a Shabbos or a Sunday, then the company only has to pay on July 1st or July 2nd. So normally when you define the word business day, is a business day means any day in which the banks are open in New York or whatever the region is where the document is being signed. And in their documents, business day, they would say business day means all days of the year with the exception of 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 1 day of Yom Kippur, first 2 days of Chol Hamoed. I think Chol Hamoed they said okay, the first 2 days of Sukkot, and then Shemini Atzeres, and then Simchas Torah, and then Pesach. And they enumerated every one of the Yom Tovim as being a non-business day, so that if the interest payment was on that day, you didn't get it. You only got it the day after Yom Tov was over. Anyway, so continue on. Ikka the Amri, there's another version of the story, a slight difference, that Siyui Misaye V'Tivna Bahadai. That means that although this was Bikablonus, however, Mazutra considered himself to be Ashtikala partner. In which respect? Because normally when you go and give a building development over to a contractor, a subcontractor, whatever, so then he worries about not only producing the labor, but also producing the raw materials. He's the one that buys all the raw materials and has the laborers go and put it together and make it into a house. What happened over here was Mazutra supplied the raw materials. He gave them the tevin from which you make bricks, like we find in the Torah that the Parai originally did give him tevin, and then afterwards he took away the tevin, and they used the tevin to go and make bricks. So since Mazutra handed over, he supplied them with the raw goods, the tevin, so therefore he felt that this wasn't a pure Kablonis in the normal classic sense of the term, that he was also part of this enterprise, if you will. And so therefore, as a result, he was machmal atzmai, and he didn't go into his own home after it had been constructed on Shabbos or Yom Tov. We start a new shtickle. Rav Chama shara lehu li avungari debay reish kalusa lemebe lehu avidit tabachol demayat. Rav Chama permitted avungari. Rashi says avungari are people that are misadre shulchanois, meaning that the Reish Galusa presumably had a large banquet house or banquet hall where he had a lot of guests, and these would be the people that would set up the tables whenever there was a meal. Somebody does not have himself on mute, please mute yourselves, one and all. Thank you very much, especially those that are visiting from Costa Rica. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so the Gemara tells us that he permitted the avungari, these people that set up the tables in the Bay Reish Galusa, in the house of the Reish Galusa, lemebed lahu avidita, that they were allowed to do avidita. Vos meint avidita, says Rashi, im nishbar hashulchan shor litakni. He allowed them to go and fix any table. In other words, they set up the tables as they're setting it up. One of them, the leg fell off or whatever, so he allowed them to go and fix it in the Cholamayit. Omar, he said, Kimin di agar loikashakli, for doing this work of fixing the table, they don't receive any salary. It could be that they don't even receive a salary for setting up the tables. What benefit do they get? They only get the benefit of a free meal, not very free, if they have to go and set up the tables. But nevertheless, that's their benefit. Shirishuyi hu dekam misharshile. The only thing they get is a meal for their efforts. Velaslamba. So then it doesn't even look like a classic case of a malacha. If they were getting paid for it, then it's a choshev malacha. Yes. You get paid $3 an hour, $5, $12, $15 an hour to take care of the tables. They didn't even get that. They just got a meal. So if that doesn't even look like a malacha, and therefore that would be permissible on Chol HaMoed. Yes.
I noticed. Go ahead, Ariel.
Go ahead. Bye.
No, why? But if it's on Chol HaMoed and doing it for a meal on Chol HaMoed or on Yontif, ain't binyan mekalim. What's the problem here?
Are you allowed to go and start fixing things on Chol HaMoed?
No, you're not. But I'm saying, but if they're setting up, it's saying it's their mevalu.
So maybe what they should have done is, if there's a broken table, they should have knocked on the next door, on the neighbor's door, and say, maybe you have an extra table.
There's another way to do it without being mechal Chol HaMoed.
Exactly.
Okay.
Is this comparable to, like, let's say certain shuls have like goyim that, you know, clean up after kiddush or set up the kiddush or do that type of stuff?
I'm assuming that what they do in terms of cleaning up, sweeping, even Jews are allowed to go and sweep up. It's just that the Jews want to go home and eat and the Shabbos meal. But there's nothing wrong with cleaning the table and sweeping up. In fact, in your home or other homes where there may be crumbs on the floor, there's no problem with sweeping up. There was a problem many, many years ago when the floors were made out of earth. Because as a result of the sweeping,
erosion. You
had ashwiye gumais. Ashwiye gumais means sometimes earth tends to get clumps and mounds and also potholes. So when you go and sweep it, then you kind of even it all out. So that is a problem. But now our homes, most of them, I assume your home as well, doesn't have a dirt floor. Rather you have either a wooden floor or you have carpets or you have linoleum. So these shilas no longer apply.
So the idea of the guy in shul working, but he's working, so to speak.
Yeah, his work, if it's only work on Shabbos, it's more problematic.
Right.
Most of the goyim are hired for the week, and then there's what we call havla. Havla means that whatever they're doing on Shabbos is kind of squeezed in, swallowed up in his wages for the week. And then that becomes far more permissible. Mm-hmm. But you're now talking about halacha lemaisa, and for that you really should speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi that is familiar with all of these halachas. But getting back to Agmar, you're allowed to go and make up with a goy on Chol HaMoed, for that matter also a Jew. You're allowed to make up on Chol HaMoed to go and begin a business, a kablonis, after Chol HaMoed. So you're allowed to talk to him the terms. Over Moed Aser, however, that same kablonis to do it on Moed. In other words, beginning of Chol HaMoed, you say, okay, I want you to go and do a kablonis and begin now in Chol HaMoed. That's Aser. That you have to wait until Yom Tov is over and then discuss with him any things that you want to do. Kol Shadavar, as a general rule, Kol Shu Oise, whatever the Jew is allowed to do on his own, then he can go and tell the Goy to do it on his behalf, even during Chol HaMoed. However, if the Jew is prohibited from doing it, for instance, back in our first Mishnah, to go and irrigate a Beis HaBaal, a field that doesn't really require irrigation, but you want that the potatoes should grow more quickly, for Harvacha, if you can't do it, you can't go and hire a Goy or ask a Goy to do it on your behalf. Another price, similar. You can go and make up with a person to do a kablonis after Yom Tov is over. However, don't go into all the details. You can go and tell them in general terms, you know, you see that lot over there, I want you to go and build it, and it's going to, I want it to be a three-story building, and it has to be done within a year. But don't start saying, well, how large are each one of the rooms, and how much will be per square inch and per square foot. And so layimdai, don't start measuring, layishkal, and don't start weighing, shlayimna, to count, kireshusubchoil, that you leave the details until after Yontif, because anything that if you're getting too involved in the details, it has the smell of an uvdin dechoil. You're treating Chol HaMoed as if it's a regular work day. It's not. It has kedushas yomtiv. So therefore, whatever you don't need to do then, go and leave it for after yomtiv. Tanur Rabbanan, ein marbiyin behema bechoil shel moed. You're not allowed to be marbiya. The word marbiya is from a lotion of mating a male and a female animal. Even there are people that's part of their business. They want their animals to procreate and to have children, and then those children become new animals, and then they'll sell them or they'll use them for their fields or whatever. So you're not allowed to do that in Chol HaMoed to mate them together. It means physically put the two together. Similarly, in Marbim Bechor Sulam Mikdash, if you have a Bechor, meaning a Bechor of a behemoth that was born, that you have to give to the Kohen, it says in the Pasuk, Savoid Bechor Sheirecha, you're not allowed to go and do Avoida. And this in itself is considered to be an Avoida, that you cause this animal to go and produce other offspring. So you're not allowed to be Marbia. You would be putting one animal on top of the other, and therefore it's now carrying an all. This is prohibited. Hey, Marbim. Same thing with Psulia Medoshim. Psulia Medoshim means an animal that you had been maktish for a carbon. Unfortunately, it developed a mum. You were poid it. And even though you were poid it means you redeemed it. Even though now it no longer has the kedushas carbon that it had originally, it still has some residuary kedusha. Like it says in the Pasuk, Tizbach v'yachalta bazar. Basar, and the Gemara Darshan to Tizbach for Giza, which means Giza Vavoida, Viachalta Veloy the Klavecha, not for your behemoth, and Tizbach Via Basar Veloy Cholov. So therefore, you're not allowed to go and take Psuli Hamikdoshim, a carbon that became a Balmum that you were Poida, you're not allowed to go and use it for any other Avoida. The only thing you can use it for is Shechting and eating it. That's all. So therefore, that's why if you want to be Marbia and try to produce new offspring from that animal, that is prohibited. Tani yidach ein Marbim v'heim b'choy v'shlomoy, like we just said. Rabbi Huda oimer that there's an exception to the rule by a chamoira shetova. If you see a chamoira, a female donkey, where the female donkey very much wants to live with a male donkey, the Marbia l'azoch, and then you can go and assist. Why? B'shvil shaloi titztane. Because what may happen is that if you do not allow for the mating with this chamoira, it's going to become cold. And some of the Rishonim say becoming cold is a nice euphemistic term to mean that she's no longer going to be able to produce offspring by not allowing her bishas taiva to go and live with a zachar. She might be turned off forever and ever and never produce any more children. And that being the case, then that's the hefsed meruba that you'll be allowed to go and be marbia on cholam moyed, v'shar kol behemois machlis and oisam libekareis. Even though you're not allowed to be marbia them physically, mating the two together, what you can do is have them go together in the corral or in the barn or wherever, and then the behemois, the males and the females, will probably do shiduchim on their own. You don't have to do any particular suggestions or invitation. They'll do their own thing. That's permissible. You know, you don't have to stop animals from mating. However, you're not allowed to go physically put them two together on Cholamoy, because that's considered to be avoida or malacha on Cholamoy.
Is this specifically the chamoram, or is there something
specific? The Rabbi Yehuda's exception is only by chamoira, not by no other species. All other species, the assumption is, if unfortunately the males are not interested, okay, we'll find a new male tomorrow. There'll be a new shidduch. But the chamoira, if she is turned off and nobody allows her to mate with a male, then apparently she could become
frigid,
neutered, whatever term you like to use, forever and ever. So,
that would be is different.
Sus, by definition, is always horsing around. You know? But that's not a donkey. Donkey is always carrying its freight. Tanurban, ein medairin, libeshabasim libim, tanurban, libeshabasim medairin from the word dira. And we don't mean over here to go and give a dira to an animal. What we're referring to is if you have an animal that wishes to relieve itself, and there are no bathrooms on behalf of the animals, so you think, I have now an excellent opportunity. This field that I have needs a lot of fertilizer, instead of buying fertilizer in the store, or instead of taking dung, and then I have to go and spread it all over the field. What he does is he takes animals, have them sit or stand on a particular piece of property, puts machitzas around them, partitions, so that they should stay there for half an hour or two, until they have to relieve themselves, and presto! He now has, on this piece of property, he has fertilizer. And he didn't have to get involved in the nitty-gritty of the dung. And then what could he do? That he can go move the animals over to the next few feet, put again partitions, and then hope that they'll do that again and again, and eventually the entire field is going to have fertilizer. You can do that during the week, but you cannot do that on Shabbos and Yom. So the word medayron over here means to make these makeshift dirois, as if they're going to live there for the next few hours or day or whatever, and as a result, they will relieve themselves and produce the dung. You're not going to do that on Shabbos and Yom, but not even on Chol HaMoed. If, however, the animals on their own roamed on their own into your field and they decided to go and set up camp and have a picnic over there on your... That's okay, but then I didn't tell them to come in. You want to come in? Give them to hide. But you can't go and help them out. In other words, you can leave the door open, but don't say, you know, don't put a big sign and say, all animals are invited at all times to go and to relieve themselves on my property. Of course, I don't mean that literally. Most animals cannot read. But you get the idea. You can't go and assist them. If they want to go in on their own, that's fine. But don't bring them in or assist them in coming into the property. Now, Rashi says this is referring to if a goy owned those animals, and now he is the one that's bringing the animal in for purposes of this medayrin, for purposes of relieving themselves and producing the zevel, then you cannot give them a shoimer lenair. Rashi says lenair means lishmor, to go and watch over these animals. That apparently would be a form of siyua, of helping out by saying, okay, you want to bring the animals in, I'm going to give you a shoimer who's going to watch, make sure that tzoyim don't run away or whatever. You have to stay out of this whole thing. They want to relieve themselves, gesintheit. You don't have to supply any toilet paper. You just don't get involved. But anything, any type of involvement, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, you give them a shoimer, stay away from this. How you schir Shabbos, schir Chodesh, schir Shona, schir Shavua, Misayin Oysam. Now, if the goy that has these animals who's working for you is a schir Shabbos. Schir Shabbos means that he's hired for the week, or schir Chodesh, he's hired for the month, schir Shana for the year, schir Shavua for the whole Shemitah for 7 years. Then Messiah and Oysan, then you're allowed to assist them. Why? Says Rashi, because it becomes almost like his own animal. It's no longer your animal. He's on long term employment, so it becomes his, and therefore you can go and assist him if he wants to bring the animal in to the field. And therefore you can also go and appoint a shoimer to help them out. Revi Oimer b'Shabbes b'Toiva b'Yontif b'Mezoinis b'Moyed is b'Schar. What does all of that mean? Rashi says if there's someone else that's out there that wants to help your sochir, your employee, help him in bringing the animals in. If it's on Shabbos, he cannot go and give him any wage, but b'toiva. He can say, okay, I thank you very much. I recognize that you did a toiva for my sochir and helped him out with the animals, and therefore I will keep this in my memory bank and I will remember it, b'toiva. And therefore, presumably, at some time in the future, he'll repay him a favor, just like he did a favor to him. If it's on Yontif, you cannot go and give him any money, but what you can do is b'mezaynus. You can say, oh, you were so nice to my socher, you helped him out with the animals and all that, I'm going to give you a free meal. B'moyed, if it's having chol HaMoed, then b'schad, then you're even allowed to go and pay him. Again, you didn't hire him, he was on his own being a good Samaritan. Barry doesn't usually like that term, but he's helping him out. So therefore, if you look at the Rashi right before the Mishnah, Rabbi Oimer b'Shabbos b'Toivim roitze shum odom l'sayeya li'oisei socher b'Toivosei. If somebody wants to help him out, he can do it for free. On Yontif, I can go and give him a meal. I can even go and pay him for his assisting the socher. On Rabbi Yosef, hilchas socher. Rabbi, the loch is like Rabbi, that only in Chol HaMoed can you actually pay, but not in Shabbos or on Yom Tov. On to the next Mishnah. And this Mishnah is going to sound very, very similar to yesterday's Mishnah. Remember, we started off the new parak yesterday talking about a person who had zeisim that had softened. He had already turned over the zeisim for purposes of pressing them into oil, and then unfortunately he became suddenly an ovel, or an oinis happened, or hitu poyalim. So we have the same type of structure. Our Mishnah says the Mishnah v'chein misho yeyena b'teich habor. He has wine inside the vat, and what he wants to do is take the wine from the vat and put it into containers, into barrels, and he wants to seal the barrel, because if he's just going to leave the wine there in the vat without sealing it, eventually it's going to spoil, and he'll have tons of vinegar, and he's not going to have any wine. So what do? You have the wine inside the bar. Under normal circumstances, he would have done this, could have done it, should have done it before Yontav. He became Nebuchadnezzar. And now, so this is no longer Yontav. I'm sorry. Yontav means any time during the year. It's the middle of Shvat, and the person was going to today remove all of the wine from the bar and put it into barrels, and unfortunately became an oval. Oval's not allowed to do any work. What do we do? Oy, Mishnah says, now we're talking about Reuven Cholam Moed. He was going to do it, this was supposed to be before Yontif, on 2 days before Yontif, on Erev Yontif, he was going to take all the wine out, and then there was an oynis, there was a chweis, there was an earthquake, there was a hurricane, there was a thunderstorm, or whatever, some sort of oynis that he wasn't able to get to it and take the wine and pour it off, or to take it out of the vat. Oishetu Piyalev, he had Piyalev that were supposed to come. The previous Mishnah had the word Piyalev here, it's missing, it's probably just a Torah Sotfus, printer's error. Anyway, so he had Piyalev that had agreed to come in Erev Yontif, and then they called up the last minute and said, oh, sorry, we can't make it today, be well and be healthy, and then they hung up. Of course, they probably got another job where they got another $2 per hour. Anyway, the point is, nobody's here, and if he waits until after Yontif, everything will spoil. Then, Zoyle v'goymer v'gof kedar kedim rebyasi. Then, you can go and treat this as a hefsel meruba. You do not have to make any shinuyim. You can do a kedarka. This is Rav Yosi, and therefore zoylef means go and pour out the wine from the vat into the containers, into the barrels. The goyman finish off the whole job. The gav kedarka, you can even make a megupa. The megupa means you can seal it on top to keep the wine fresh. It shouldn't spoil. Says Rav Yosi. Rav Yehuda Oymer, Rav Yehuda said you got to do a shinuy, and therefore isale limudim b'shvil shlo yachmetz. What you can do is you put up Limudim means boards. And you put boards on top of. Now this is already a machloikis in the Mefarshim. Whether Rabbi Yehuda holds you can go and pour it over into the barrel, and instead of sealing the barrel, you just put the lid on top, or you put boards on top to keep it fresh. Or it means you leave it all in the vat and put up large boards to keep it fresh. That's really machlekes. But the point is, you can only do this temporary measure. It's got to be b'shinoi. You can't go and do a full-fledged mekupa sachovius of sealing barrels because it's cholamai. Now, these two mishnayos, the mishnah that we learned yesterday and the mishnah we're learning today, if you compare the two, you'll see that they're kamat word for word the same. The only major difference is that yesterday's mishnah was talking about oil, and today's mishnah is talking about wine. So, why do you have to repeat the same halacha twice? And as we'll see in the Gemara, in those days, oil was more valuable than wine. I don't know that that's the case today. Certainly the black oil that you have from the oil companies is very valuable, but I'm not sure that olive oil is as expensive as wine. But based on our two Mishnayos, that was the case at that time. And therefore, it's the Gemara Tricha. I need both Mishnayos. The Ashmin and Kamais would only have yesterday's Mishnah. But you come Rabbi Yosi, that you're allowed to do it kidarkai normally. Mishum the Mishka, Novish Pseida. There's going to be a big loss. This oil, if I'm not going to be Mahapach the Zaysim, I'm going to lose the entire Zaysim crop. It's all going to spoil. It's all going to go bad. Aval, Chamadlai, Novish Pseida. No, if you lose the wine, Nishka Ferlach. Apparently, wine was not as valuable as the oil. Same way to later Buddha, I would think maybe agrees to Rabbi Yehuda, just put on lids, put on boards, you don't have to go and put a full-fledged seal. The Ashmin and Basai would only say this Mishnah, but here come Rabbi Yehuda, that's where Rabbi Yehuda said, no, Rabbi Yehuda said, don't go all the way and do a magupa, do a seal, just cover it up, do a cover up. Al-Bahak, in the case of the olives, where everybody agrees, Abseida, Rab, Abseida, Maruba, and way to Rabbi Yehuda, you can do it normally, so you could have to have both Mishnahs. I'm going to get to what up. I'm sorry?
You wouldn't find Popeye whining, but you would find him with olive oil.
Aha! Okay. Thank you very much. That was a very, very cute comment. And anybody that doesn't understand that comment, I guess, should whine for not having that basic
they're
knowledge.
Showing their youth, they're showing their youth if they don't know that comment.
Okay. So we had this comment already in the Gemara yesterday, that who is the Tana that holds that you do not, or forget, that you do need to make a shinu b'moyed, even b'dovra oved. Yes, it's melechus dovra oved. The Chacham said you can go and do it, But nevertheless, try to make a shinoi, don't do it kedarkai. Says Yimar, who is that? Man, Yomar, the like Rabbi Yossi. It's certainly not Rabbi Yossi, because both Rabbi Yossi in yesterday's Mishnah and Rabbi Yossi in today's Mishnah both hold Zoylef v'goymer v'goth kedarkai, do it like you normally would throughout the year. We pass on like Rabbi Yossi, and of course, Dari will say, it's not surprising, because Rabbi Yossi,
Nemukayimai,
it's frequently the case, so we pass on like Rabbi Yossi. Are you allowed to go and mesha? Mesha means to smear. Here, the smearing means to go and seal a chovius, a barrel of sheicher, of beer, in cholamite. Omelahu, Sinai, omra loch Rabbi Yossi. Didn't Sinai say the halacha like Rabbi Yossi? Who's Sinai?
Yosef.
So at the end of the Sechtes Baruch, at the end of the Sechtes Hoyrius, it describes Rabbi Yosef as being Sinai. Sinai means that he had knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula. He was a baki in the entire Torah, and his best peer was Rabbah, and Rabbah, the Gemara says about Rabbah that he was the Oiker Harim. So the Rav Yosef is considered to be the Sinai, the one that had the encyclopedic knowledge of A to Z. He knew everything by heart. Masha Ein Kain, the Rabbah was considered to be the Grace of Mefalpil. He was a very, very charif, very sharp. Therefore, he could compare different sugyas and pilpulim and askashis and all the rest. So the Gemara talks about there what's more important, Sinai, the Oiker heart.
Everybody's bread.
Yeah. So the question is, why is Rav Yosef, why was Yitzhakim such a Sinai? Elsewhere, the Gemara tells us that Rav Yosef was a Sagi Nohar, and since he was a Sagi Nohar, he was not able to see, and therefore he learned everything about that. Because if you can't see, then you have to learn about that. Anyway, so says the Gemara, we had a Shailu Legavei smearing and sealing a chovius, a barrel of beer. So he told him, did we just finish saying a moment ago, Umr of Yosef, that's the Sinai, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, so what's your Shaila? He said to him, I'll tell you why. Hey, with Umr of Yossi b'chamra, that's talking about wine. But b'shecha mi'omar, maybe Sheikhar didn't say. What's the reason why wine? B'chamra tam amai mishim d'nafish p'seideh. Even though compared to oil, wine is less of a hefzit, but nevertheless, even wine in its own, that's a big hefzit. But Sheikha Nami, the question is, does it also have a big hefzit, yes or no? So he answers him, yes! Sheikha also has a hefzit, Sheikha Nami is Pep Seder. How do I know that Sheikha, which is not fresh, which is spoiling, there's a possibility of hefzit? The Omer Abaya. Omerli M, Abaya said about, this was not his real mother, his biological mother passed away in childbirth, but he was raised by a young lady who Abaye affectionately always referred to as his mother, because she was the one that raised him. And he said, my mother told me that Bar Shis Savi Vishia is better than Bar Tamni Veloishia. If you go into the store, the wine and liquor store, and they want to go and sell you a barrel of sheikhar, of beer, rather buy a barrel that only has 6 saw quantity Vishia, but happens to be sealed, rather than buying another barrel, which may be the same price, may even be cheaper, which contains 8 saw, veloishia, but which was not sealed. So sealing, even by beer, is very important, not only by wine, as we said before. If you want to categorize hilchis moyed, in a sense, they're like hilchis kusim. What does that mean? So Timur, Balocha, some take out the word Balocha. My Hilchasa, what are the ramifications? What are you trying to tell me? It comes to tell you that every one of the halachas that applies to Chol HaMoed, similar to Hilchas Kusim, they're all on their own, and you cannot really learn one from the other. In other words, in other segments of Torah, very often you can learn one halacha from the other halacha. But here, each one is independent on its own. So what it means, kehilchis kusim? So Rashi explains, the halacha is by kusim. Kusim, as we know, were a nation that came from Kuta, that were placed in Yehuda v'Shamron in Eretz Yisrael by, I believe, Sancheiriv, because the Yidden that had left there were all, they didn't leave, they were all deported, they were all taken out, and therefore what happened was that whole northern part of Eretz Yisrael was totally empty, not only empty of Jews, but empty of anyone, and now the lions were roaming around, and therefore, to take care, to take measures against that, you may have read about it 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, in Haifa, people were so careful about not going out because of the quarantine, because of the COVID, that wild boars started roaming the streets of Haifa. There were pictures of it, and videos of it. It was very, very
startling.
Not only startling, it was terrifying, because these wild boars, these were wild animals. Yeah, they're not as bad as lions, but they're also. Anyway, so that's what happens when there's nobody in the streets, and the animals take over. So what the Gemara is telling us is that these people from Kuta, they were asked to go and fill the void. The animals started attacking them and killing a lot of them. And then it says in Tanakh that they decided that they're going to go and convert to Judaism. And as a result, Hashem will protect them like he protects Jews. And they, en masse, they all converted. So now there's a machlekes always in the Gemara whether they were kusim geri emesein or geri aroyesein, or they really bona fide Jews, or they were just make believe, so that because they were afraid of the aroyes. Anyway, and the Gemara tells us about these kutim, sometimes there were certain halachas that they were very makbid, so makbid, the Gemara even tells about them, they're sometimes even makbid more than a born Jew, that's how careful he was about certain halachas, but other halachas, they could care less, they were zero gunish migunish. And therefore the fact that you see a real frum kuti that is makbid on halacha A, B, and C doesn't tell you anything about halachas X, Y, and Z. One thing he may be very frum, the other thing he said, it's gunish, he doesn't care whatsoever. So just like you cannot compare the performance by a kusi of mitzvah A to mitzvah Z, same thing is when it comes to hilchas moed, you cannot compare one halacha to the other halacha. And the Gemara gives us examples. The Yom HaShmuel, Zoifsin Kuzisov, the Ein Zoifsin Chavita. Or Avdi Menei Doma, just the opposite. Zoifsin Chavita means Zoifsin Kuzisa. A Chavita, Chavius, is a barrel. Kuzisa is a kuza, which is a much smaller container. What Shmuel said is that you're allowed to go and put the zeves, you're allowed to go and seal this small container, but don't go and seal the large chavis, the large barrel on Cholamoid. Avdini said just the opposite. So if it's a chavita, you can only go and seal the large barrel, but don't go and seal the small container. Does that make sense? Mikotze ala kotze, from one end of the spectrum to the other. So Shmuel, yes, I'll tell you why. Mar chayish l'pseida, mar chayish l'tircha. One man, one of these two, was more concerned about hefsid, and therefore he said, the chavita, that's the one that you should go and seal. The kuzisa, worst comes to worst, if the wine inside this bottle goes sour, it's only one wine bottle. But here you're talking about a chavis that you could supply 50 bottles. So there, that you're allowed to go and seal on Cholamoid. The other man, the other said, no, just the opposite. You can only seal the small wine bottle, but not the large barrel, because in large barrel, that's a lot of tircha. You know what it means? That large barrel, you have to go and put a sealant all over it. It could take you an hour. For the little bottle, it'll take you 5 minutes. So this is a tircha yaseir. So you see that you and I might have thought, learn chavis from kuzisa or kuzisa from chavita, but you can't, because each one has its own svaras and its own logic and its own din. You can't learn one from the other. Similarly, Omer Bayit, Naktin and Hilchas Moed, Hilchas Chol Moed are like Hilchos Shabbos. What does that mean? Zorki Yisra, just like Hilchos Shabbos, Yesh Men Potter Avalosser, V'yesh Men Mutter Lechat Chila. Sometimes when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos where things are permissible, some of them, Potter Avalosser, it's not permissible Lechat Chila. But b'diavad, if you did it, there is no onesh, and other things which are mutamamish lechat chila. So what does he mean to say? So going back to the case of the zofsim about sealing the barrels and the bottles, when it says ein zofsim that you're not allowed to go and seal it, says Rashi, it's aser. But if you did it b'diavad, there is no onesh for having done an on chalamayit. You're not allowed to. Part of a loss. On the other hand, there it said that zofsim that you're allowed to put the sealant on, that's a filichat chila. So in that sense, it's similar to Hilchos Shabbos. Now the Gemara tells us the story. Rav Huna chatzte chatzte b'miyada. Rav Huna owned a field, and someone went and cut the. He reaped the grain from that field on Chol HaMoed. That's what, and Rav Huna allowed this to happen. So Eisri Rabba Rav Huna Rav Huna. Apparently, his son asked Father Tati, Toichmin kemach b'moyed tzorich hamoyed. That you're allowed to be tochin kemach if you have the wheat or the barley and you want to go and grind it up on Chol HaMoed, the Tzarech HaMoed, because you want to go and bake today chalas, or you want to go and bake matzes or cake on Chol HaMoed, that's okay, because it's a Tzarech HaMoed, it's a Melechus Dover Oichel Nefesh, that's no problem. B'shaloi the Tzarech HaMoed, however, if you don't want it for today, you want it for a week from now, you're going to put it in the freezer or something, then that's awesome, that you're not allowed to do, because you can do it for Moed. Dover She'ovid B'moed, Mutal Asayis B'moed, something that is a Dover Oved, that otherwise will be a Hefzid, then you're allowed to do it in Chol HaMoed. Dover She'ein Oved B'moed, then also you're not allowed to. And continues the Braisa, B'med V'mamur Mitlushim and Akarka, things which are already uprooted, that already been cut from the Karka. And B'chub L'Karka Filu Kulei Oved Oser, if it's still attached to the ground, don't reap, don't harvest, don't cut, even Kulei Oved Oser, leave it attached to the ground. The main loy, my yoicha, what happens if the person is so poor that he has nothing else to eat? No, then it's already azaka, as we ashtiku pikuach nefesh, and therefore koitzer, he's allowed to go and harvest, umma amri, he's allowed to collect together the bushels, vidosher, he's allowed to thresh, vizayne, he can winnow, uboiran, he's allowed to go and sift, vitoichin, he's allowed to go and grind it up, ubavachala yodish vaporis, but don't go and take animals to go and do the disha, to do the threshing. Why can't you go and do with animals? It would seem at this point, because parois do it on a regular basis, and now it's Chol HaMoed, you have to do it with a shinoi. That's how the Gemara learns in the Havamina, and that will become very important in another minute or two. Now, says the Gemara, what was the kasha that Rav Ravuna asked Rav Huna? You allowed your field to be caught in Chol HaMoed. This brisa, which I just quoted at great length, says that you're not allowed to mechub l'karka afilu kulei oved is aser. If it's mechub l'karka, you're not allowed to go and cut any of the tvua. Even if it's going to be a hafzer afilu kulei oved, it's aser, you're not allowed to. So how are you allowed to go and do it over here? That's the Gemara's kasha. Zomer Pshimon Gamliel. Oh, so as I take a fright, Amalei. So Rav Huna told his son, Yechidahi v'loy sviralon kavosei. This bris that you quoted is not the majority opinion. It's just a yachid, and we don't paskin like that. The Sanya, and now the Gemara brings a brisa. Klal Omer Pshimon Gamliel Mishum Reb Yoisi. And since he's saying Mishum Reb Yoisi, the Gemara is assuming that this is not the majority opinion. And even though Barry will say Reb Yoisi in the Mukhei Emai,
but the Gemara. And usually, except for three cases, the halacha of Rav Shimon Gamliel,
Mishnayis. Anyway, so the Gemara is going to conclude that that's not the halacha, it's the Das Yochid. What did Rav Shimon Gamliel say in the name of the Biyasi? The Dovra Tolish Min HaKarka, something which is Tolish, which is already cut from the Karka, for the Mitzosi over at Mutter. Then you're allowed to go and work with it, even though it's not a great Hefzit, it's not a Hefzit Maruba, it's a Hefzit. It's mutter because it's already cut. If it's attached to the karka, it's also you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Ah, so therefore, what was Ravuna's answer? Ravuna's answer is that first brisa that you just quoted to me a moment ago that says that you're not allowed to cut from the karka at all after the kuli ovid, you're absolutely right. That's what it says in the brisa. But it's a Das Yochid, it's Reb Yoisi, and we don't follow his view. Freit Yimara, is that right? That this first price is Reb Yoisi? L'chari cannot go according to Reb Yoisi. Says Yimara, V'ir Reb Yoisi, Yiddish Namen V'parais. Why can't you go and use the animals? So you told me before you can't use the animals because you have to make a Shinoi, Anchol HaMoyed. Ay, Homer B'yitzvar Abba, Mantana Shinoi, Moyed, V'dav Ravid, D'loik Reb Yoisi. Didn't we say that already? Countless times we said that already. Yesterday we said it today. First Mishnah, another Mishnah. So if this price is Reb Yoisi, then why does it say that you can't use the Parais? Reb Yoisi says, do everything normally. Kedarkoi. Amalach, he told you, Hochanami, Kimon D'chol Yoima, La B'paris Daishi. Oh, we were under the impression that the normal way that they did the threshing was with parais. And the price said, make a shinoi, don't use parais. Now the Gemara says it's just the opposite. Normally you don't use parais. And therefore, if you're going to use parais now on Chol HaMoed, in Nami, lav shinoi, it's not a problem of a shinoi. What is the problem? The problem is, says Rashi, av shamiltza. Avsha literally means commotion and noise. Avsha miltza means that when it comes Chol HaMoed, You want it to be as restful, as peaceful, as much tranquility as possible, because when you hear a lot of noise and a lot of commotion, that in itself is considered to be awesome, because it makes this Chol HaMoed so choil. You can't even tell that it is Chol HaMoed. You see, people are going and doing and mocking and
there's a tension there, because by using Paros, you don't have Tircha Yisera. If you use Paros, you reduce the Tircha. So there's a tension between...
That same tension that we had on the bottom of the Omid.
Yes.
That is, which is better, to go and seal the smaller container or to go and seal the larger
Chavis? Exactly.
So are you more concerned about the Tircha? Are you more concerned about the Hapsit? So you got a way, and you can't go and bring a Raya one case from the other, because it's just like Kusim.
Each one is on its own,
and each one, the Chacham, made the decision, am I more concerned about the Hapsit, or am I more concerned about the Tircha? So that's something, it's a balancing act. We can't make those decisions because they were already made a couple of thousand years ago by the earlier sages. Anyway, so this is Av Shemiltzeh, which reminds me of a story. I remember that when I was in Eretz Yisrael a bunch of years ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, there was a bit of a controversy at that time, because they wanted to go, there's a special machon Le Torah Ulamada or something. It's run by a person by the name of Rabbi Halpern, who's a great Seher Lechid, and he makes sure that any decisions that they made are thought through a million times, etc. And they do a lot. I don't think it's Mechon Lev, but I don't know enough about it to be able to respond. I don't think so. Anyway, so they were able to come out with an elevator that had absolutely no shyness whatsoever. Of course, they didn't have the eye that you have in many of the modern-day elevators. It wouldn't use more electricity if there were more people inside. It was totally kosher, A to Z and back and forth. And this person took the Shaila at that time to Rav Vozna, Zichron Livracha, of Bnei Brak, together with another major poisik, I think Rav Yashiv, in Yerushalayim, and both of them said no, that they should not use that elevator on Shabbos. And I remember I was visiting Rav Vozner a few days later after the Pesach came out, and there was a big uproar and blah blah blah, and Rav Vozner said that it could be that in terms of the actual mechanics of the elevator, Rabbi Halpin is right, and he says he may understand the workings and the mechanics of the elevator better than I do, because he's a bucky in this field of electricity. But he says when it comes to Av Shemiltzeh and Kedusha Shabbos and Yom Tov, that the Rabbanim are more familiar with than he is. In other words, going and allowing people to go up and down on the elevator makes it really look like Chol, like weekday. I remember I was in a hotel in Yerushalayim, which is a Haredi hotel. Forget now the name. It was not. We're not talking about the not the Malona Merkaz. It's the Concord, which was right next to Ger. Anyway, so I saw, I was there on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, and I saw the elevator was working, and I saw Hasidic people with nice payas and all that going up and down. It wasn't adults, it was mainly children and Bochrim, and to me it looked like, you know, it's Yom Tov, it's Shabbos, you know. Yeah, even if it's kosher, but why? You should wait to go take the steps. It looks so choldik, so lachdik. Anyway, so the point is, that's what our Gemara is talking about. It's Av Shemiltzeh. This is a practical consideration. Take, for instance, those people that want to go and use dishwashers on Shabbos. Right? Friday night, you have a big oilam, 12 people, and you have 58 dishes, and all of that is going to sit there in the sink overnight, and you can't wash it. You want to go and put it into the dishwasher. Not about it. You can't go and turn it on. But what happens? Can you put a dishwasher on a Shabbos clock? Did you close it up, and an hour later, then it starts on its own? You had nothing to do with it. You put a Shabbos, just like you do for lights. So most poskim today hold that this would be prohibited. Again, halacha l'maaseh, speak to your competent rabbi. But most poskim hold that it would be prohibited, because even though the mechanics are working just like you put on the lights with Shabbos clock, the
dishwasher makes noise.
Because it makes noise, it makes emotion. It's Av Shemiltzeh, people that pass by, what is all this going on? A dishwasher, we can put a dishwasher. He didn't put it on, he put it on a Shabbos clock. But it's still not Shabbos-tick. Shabbos is supposed to be peaceful and clear. No. Yes, what we'd like to say.
And those who hold that dishwasher is muktzah.
I'm not familiar with that. If there are,
the problem with dishwashers are very often there's a current. If you have to be careful to
okay. Anyway, I'm just talking about the principle of the thing, the specifics and the details discussed with Rabbanim. But
so can a housekeeper use the dishwasher? And
ask the competent Orthodox rabbi as well. Took him more right to Rabbanim in the brayso to ichnin b'moyed letzer chamoy b'shloy letzer chamoyed osus. This basically is a repeat what we had a little bit before, and now the Brisa goes in greater detail. If you have, for instance, grain, and you want to go and grind it on Chol HaMoed, because you want to bake today on Chol HaMoed, to eat today, or eat during the rest of Chol HaMoed, or on Yom Tov, that's okay. So the Tzarech HaMoed, to go and grind the wheat or the barley, whatever, and then put it away on the shelf and use it afterwards, awesome. What happens if you did your grinding and you ground more than you needed? That's okay. You know, you don't have to go and measure exactly. Well, I need 3 chalas and 2 cakes, so therefore I can only grind 8 bushels. No. You can bind. You can any normal reasonable amount. And it's extra, that's fine. Similarly, koitzim eitzim amoyed, I need some firewood for the furnace, for my oven, for the chimney, for whatever, for the fireplace. And you have to do that, letzerech amoyed, shloy letzerech amoyed also. V'im kotz voice, if you have extra, that's okay. Matil and sheikh amoyed, you're allowed to go and produce new beer. You put the hops in the water and you mix it and you let it stand and you make beer. That's okay, letzerech amoyed. Shloy letzerech amoyed, but after amoyed, that's awesome. Then hitl voice, if you did it and you have extra left over, now, with regard to all of these 3 cases, the grinding, as well as the cutting of the wood, as well as making with a beer, but don't make haravs. In other words, don't go and say, oh, yeah, I need it for Yom Tov. And then I go and cut down 1,000 trees for purposes of Chol HaMoed. I only need 3 altogether, but I'm going to do 1,000. So don't do an haravs. Yeah, there'll be stuff left over. If you did a normal, reasonable amount, and stuff was left over, that's fine, but don't make haravs. You're allowed to do letzerech hamoyed, but not shloy letzerech hamoyed. You're not allowed to. Echad shechet tamarim, v'echad shechet sa'irim. Whether you make the beer out of dates, you make it out of barley. You're allowed to make brand new beer, even though you have some old bottles of beer still on the shelf. That's okay. And marim v'shoyser min achodesh. You can go and say, well, I want fresh beer and new beer, and that's why. Why? The old beer is just as good. Yeah, but you're allowed to be, you are allowed to make a haroma and say, I want to drink from the new beer, even though the old one is just as good. That's okay. So we see from this, you're allowed to make haroma. And a moment ago you said you cannot make haroma. Isn't that a stira? Says, more, it's not a stira, it's a machloikis. Tanoi. The same, you learned in the Brisa. Ein marim bekach. Even though you're allowed to go and grind, and you're allowed to go and do the cooking, and you're allowed to do the cutting of the eitzim and the sheicher, all of that is permissible, but don't make haramas. If you are allowed to make haramas, it's a machlekes. Put 2 dots, new shtickle. Rav chatzli chatzli b'chol d'miyada. Now this is reminiscent of the Gemara that we had at the very top of the Amid. Well, on the second line we said that Rav Huna had a field where they reaped it, they cut the tvua on Chol HaMoed, and then Rabbi Rav Huna asked the Makasha from a Braisa that you're now let it cut min hamachuber, and his answer was that it's only a das yochid. According to the Rabbim, you are allowed to. So now we have a similar situation. Rav chatzli chatzli b'chol d'miyada, he had a field where they cut the tvua on Chol HaMoed. Shoma Shmuel heard about this ikvah, he was so upset. So Shmuel, why is he upset? The only basis that we have among the Tanoim you're not allowed to is that price that we quoted up above. Leim Shmuel ki chidos mirle. Does he paskin like Reb Shimon Gamliel in the name of Reb Yoisi? Adas Yochid. So Shmuel, that wasn't the reason. Because chatzta the chiti hava, so lo yhava pasid. The reason is because when we said before Rav Huna had his field cut the tvua was cut on Chol HaMoed, that was talking about barley. Here we're talking about wheat. What's the nafkamina? Well, we all know that when it comes Pesach time, the barley ripens earlier than the wheat. And that's why the Torah tells us we bring the carbon oimer from barley, from the chodesh, from the barley, because the barley is now ripe. You can go and cut it. And in fact, if you leave it too long, it'll spoil, it'll go bad. Mashen ken, if you're talking about wheat, wheat is typically not ready yet. Ki afilois hema, right, what it says, achita vakusemis loinukul, ki afilois hema, they're a later growing crop, and you're only going to go and use the chodesh from the wheat in the Beis Hamikdash when?
Shavuos.
On Shavuos.
After the
with the shtei alechem. Exactly. Shtei alechem, that is from the wheat. Ah, so what do I see from this? The barley comes first, the wheat comes later. In Rav Huna's field, it was a barley field. If somebody didn't go and cut it, it would all ruin. Yes. It would go, we would be hefsin, hefsin maruba. Mashin b'chitlem, but not even ready yet, or they just became ready. We got time, we could wait a week to go and cut them. And that's the reason why Shmuel was upset in the case of, not because he holds like Rabbi Yossi, he holds even the majority would agree it was not necessary to go and cut it now in Chol HaMoed, since it's wheat and not barley.
So how come Rav did it?
But Rabbi Taim of Eliyahu, why did he do that? Unfortunately, Rav was an oni ve'evyon, he had no food, and therefore he needed this for food for Yontif. And Shmuel, they didn't go and tell him that that was the circumstance. Had they told him, then he would have agreed, because remember what it said, the Brice on the top of the Amid, where the Brice said four lines before the wide lines. That was the situation with Rav. It could be another reason, that even though it would be permissible, but Shmuel held that since Rav was Rabbeinu, he was the God of Adar, the big public figure, that you have to really be machmir not to do anything, etc. Says the Gemara, "Vayter miyun nesiya nofek bechumrasa demedusha veishti maya diachem kfeila armoa." Rabbi Yehuda nesiya, an enik of Rabbi Yehuda nasi, nofek. He went out. Rashi says on Shabbos, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he went out on Shabbos, but he went in his chotzer, not even Rosh Hashanah. In his chotzer, he was wearing chumrasa demedusha. That's a signet ring, which is usually used for sealing documents, which has the potential of being muktzah. But he wasn't doing it for purpose of sealing documents. He was just wearing it as a regular ring. V'ishti Maya, and he also drank water, the ochem that was heated up by Kfeila Amor, by a non-Jewish baker or non-Jewish cook. All he did was heat up the water. And he drank from that water. Shomer of Ami Ikber, of Ami heard that that's what Mutin the Seer did, these two things, and he was upset. Rav Yossi, my time, what was the reason for the hakpat? Even Shem Chumas, the Medushi, was upset about the ring. Hotayna, don't we have a brisa which we learned back in the Masechta Shabbos? Ha Shirin, Ha Nizom, Vata Bois. These are all different types of rings and jewelry. Arhen Kachol Akim, and Tom Bechotze. We're not talking about Rosh Hashanah. In the Chotze, you're allowed to go with them. You're allowed to carry them. You're with them. After all, it's the Chotze. Imishum the Ishti Mai, if you're talking about because he drank water, the Achim, Kfeil Armo, and therefore you're worried about Bishul Akim, oh, Mishmur Yitzhak, oh, Marav, called Shinech, like Moshe Yuchai, but Mishmur Yishul Akim. The only din of Bishul and Achim is only if you, as a result of the cooking, you have improved the food, but it's the type of food that you can eat raw, then there's no din of Bishul Akim. And you certainly can go and drink regular drinking water. You don't need someone to go and heat it up for you. So therefore, what was he so upset? After all, like we said before, Adam Choshev Shiny. Adam Choshev has to live on higher standards, so there shouldn't even be but a perception of something which is impropriety, because Chas V'Shalom, either people will say bad things about him, or even more importantly, people will learn from that and say, if the great Yudin Messiah can do X, Y, and Z, then I can do the same thing, and even though it's not exactly the same thing, and he doesn't know the circumstances, etc.
Yes. The ring is allowed to wear, why?
Because it was no different than any other ring that you're allowed to go and carry and wear on Shabbos inside a chot, not inside the Rishon Sarab, inside a chot.
Rav Chanan al Marat. Because he's using a zatachshit, or because it's...
He was wearing a zatachshit.
He's wearing a zatachshit, not because of...
He had no intention of sealing any documents on Shabbos.
No, but it wasn't because he was a devil muksa that you could use...
The
art scroll, there's a lengthy discussion. I didn't get into it because, quite frankly, I figure we're going to get off the topic and you can talk about that for half an hour. Okay. And then I'm going to tell you how to speak to Kamda Orthodox Rabbi. Anyway, okay. So we got back to Imar. Omer of Chananel, Omer Rab, Koitz Odom Dekal Bamoyed, Aval Bishay Natsorach, El Nasir Shalai. A person is allowed to go and cut down a tree on Chalamoyed, even if he only needs Nasiris. Nasiris is usually translated to mean the sawdust. Here Rashi means that you need the Shtiklach. In other words, when you go and chop down a tree, so in addition to the big tree that falls down, of course you have the little pieces pieces that fall down. Yeah, I don't think we're talking about the branch. I'm just talking about the small little pieces that come down together with
Eitzim Dakim.
Eitzim Dakim. So even though he only needs the Eitzim Dakim, these little pieces, he's allowed to go and cut down the whole tree. So says the Gemara, Light Alei Abaye. When Abaye heard about this, he said that may be the halacha, but he puts a curse, Chas Shalom, on anybody that is so makel that goes and cuts down whole trees just because he needs a little pieces, a few little small pieces of firewood. So tells the Gemara, Ravashi Havalei Abba. Abba means he had a forest, Bishulnaya, in the town of Shulnaya. Ozel Mitzai B'Cholamite. He went to go and cut down a tree on Cholamite. Omle Rav Shilu Mishulnaya. Rav Shilu, who lived in Shulnaya, said to Rav Ashi, My Daitach, why are you going to go and cut down a tree? Dikomer Rav Chananel Marav, Koytis Onim Dekal B'Moyt, Abba Bishayin Etzorech, Al Nesari Shaloi. You want to follow the Psak of Rav Chananel Marav? Halayit Alei Abai, didn't you hear that Abai put a curse on? Omalei Lishmili. I didn't hear about that. Kaloyma, what he meant to say is Lishmili. You know, okay, bye. He's entitled to his view, his opinion. He's a nice guy, but you know, it's nothing to do with me. Guess what happens? Ishtamit, as he was chopping down the tree, Ishtamit Narga, the hatchet fell from his hand, and Boilamifsikilishaki, and almost cut through his thigh. He almost lost a leg as a result of this chopping Cholamoid. As soon as this happened, Shafke, he left over the chopping of the wood in midstream, and he came back. Because he realized that what he did was improper. You don't go. Abaye was a Gadol Hador of a previous generation. Ravashi was from the last generation. Ravina Ravashi was Masada the Gemara. So Abaye is from previous generation. You don't chep with a person like Abaye. If you put a curse on, stay away. Something more about Rav Yehuda Sharla Mekar Kisna. Rav Yehuda permitted a person to go and uproot Kisna, means flax, from the ground. Ula Mikto Kishusa, and to cut Kishusa or hops, which are used for beer, or the mekar shumshimi, and also to uproot shumshimi. Normally shumshimi are sesame, right, or sesame seeds. However, the art scroll brings from Mishnah Berurah that this is something else. This shumshim is not the normal sesame, it's a different plant. Ayin shum, the art scroll goes through that. Omli Abayla Rav Yosef, Bishlomi Kisna, I understand why it's permissible to do one or more of these things in Cholamite. Kisna, the flax, Chazal Chfifa, because once you cut it, then you can go and use it, says Rashi, as a cover. Lechasas by machel, going to Tainim tomorrow, Mitzar Chamayin, if the Tainim tomorrow needs some sort of cover, maybe from the sun, maybe from the rain, it needs a cover, you can use now that flax, which you uprooted. That I understand. Kishusa chazal shechar. What happens if you want to produce beer? So then you cut the hops. I understand that too. And the shumshi, my chazal, what can you use it for? Apparently shumshi is the type of thing that you have to leave, you have to process, and you can't easily use azoy al regal achas. Happening more, chazal in nazia, the ispo. You can go and use it for nazia. Rashi said nazia is some sort of shemen that you can go and squeeze out. So apparently you can do that on the spot. In other words, to go and eat it, to use it for cooking or something, you might have to wait a few days until it dries out, you process it. But for purposes of squeezing it now, to go make some shemen for the sesame seed oil, yeah, that's, since you can do that in Cholamoid, so that's permissible. Rabbi Yani Havalei Ha'u Pardes, he had a Pardes, the Mata Zimne B'chol Demiyada, and Katfe. What happened was, this is a part, this is an orchard. Under normal circumstances, the fruits in this orchard would ripen either before Yontif or after Yontif, so there was never a Cholamoid problem. Pink that year, Rabbi Yana's fruit, Matazamne, the Zman of the ripening, happened at the very beginning of Cholamoid, and all of the king's officers and all the king's men said that if you're not going to go and cut it now in Cholamoid, you're going to lose all of these fruit, they're going to be spoiled forever, and Katfein, therefore, he allowed them to cut down these fruit on Cholamoid. Lishana, the next year, Shayua Kuli Amulet Pardesayu, everybody in town knew about this great event, that Rabbi Yanai permitted the cutting of the fruit during Cholamoid, and therefore now all the townspeople followed suit after Rabbi Yanai in the next year, that they went and told their workers, do other things, cut the fruit on Cholamoid. You gotta cut fruit on Cholamoid. Mm-hmm. Didn't you see the great Rabbi Yanai? He cut it too. That's the reason for Maris Ayin Ariel, that people are going to go and learn from the great rabbis, that if they permit it, it must be permissible. And therefore, everybody the next year, they didn't know that the reason why Rabbi Yanai permitted it was because the scientists and told them, the big farmers told them, that it just ripened now, and if you don't cut it now, it's curtains for all of these fruit, and therefore that was a special, you know, Dover Ovid situation. But to go and leave the harvest for fruit for Cholamoid and say, okay, from now on, always harvest the food on Chol HaMoed. It's cheaper labor, and it's a good time to do it. No, you're not going to do that. But Rabbi Yonah saw that unfortunately what happens as a result of his example, after Rabbi Yonah lepardeisei hu shata, Rabbi Yonah said, all of the produce of this year from this paradise, I'm mafkir, anybody can go and take it, I don't want to have any hanoah from it. So people should realize that Rabbi Yonah was
He made a penalty on himself.
There are other mafarshim that take out the word hu shata, and they say, after Rabbi Yonah lepardeisei, Rabbi Yonah was mafkir his paradise forever and ever. He says, I never want to have any hanoah from this paradise ever in my life. Just like Mazutra gave away his house, Rabbi Yonah gave away this paradise and says, I don't want to have any more hanoah.
He gave it away. He didn't say he gave it away. He didn't
go into it. Mazutra. It's not exactly the same. There, you're right.
He probably got sold.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that he gave away as a present. He was mafkarit.
Yeah.
Presumably he sold it to someone else. He didn't want to have hanoah from the work that
direct
was done.
He sold it.
He wished I, but he didn't want to have direct. Yeah, correct. Weiter so gemischte weiter. Mach so der Beroys mir Ganovim. It's now Chol HaMoed and there is a Ganovim alert. The Ganovim all around. You got to go and take all the papers. Yeah, vada, yeah. And they never killing all the police and never. But show the pistol of Mishri. You also got to go and take out the pistol from Mishri. We had it yesterday, the day before. Otherwise, it's going to go bad. If it's in the soaking stove, you have to take it out. Bishul Shvei Tiovich. It shouldn't get worse. It shouldn't spoil. Like we just said now with the story of Lebiani. Don't be Mechamel at the Moed. If it happens, if you did it, you're veidu. Then in fact, you're not allowed to have hanoah. Similar to Rabbi Yonah, you're veidu. You took out the pishtun during Chol HaMoed. You could have waited. No need. Can't use this pishtun anymore. All the linens, forget about it. Even those things which are permissible to do, like putting the payers together, don't make a public spectacle. It's like the Av Shemiltza. Don't make a commotion. Don't make the noise. Do it the tzinnah. But now the Gemara tells the story that Lechoira is direct opposite. Rav Yosef Havalei Kishuri. Kishuri means beams, and those beams needed to be brought in from the outside, because perhaps it was going to rain, or perhaps it was going to snow, or perhaps it was going to be too hot, or too cold, or whatever it was, and they had to go and bring these kishuri. On the side it says, koiris kiveidim ugdoilim. Heavy duty, these are real big, heavy duty stuff.
Construction beams.
Exactly. Ailinu biyamama, and they brought it in during the day. We just learned the price. What time you buy your but you should be tzinah. Why did you bring it during the day? Amalei says you don't understand. Tzinah dahani yamamahu. The tzinah that we would do if we would do it for instance at night, but tzinah that's like doing it in broad daylight. Why? Kim de belay the bor gavri yaseiri. If you're talking at night, in addition to your normal five workers, you're going to need additional workers because you have to have some people just to hold up the sign, stop and go slow, right? You see all these construction jobs. It's a very hard working people holding up a sign. They're sleeping half of the time. They need to stop and slow. So if it's at night, we'll even need more people to make sure, chas v'shalom, nobody hurts themselves and the other people or the people that are working on it. And by meduchri denura, we're going to have to put up big torches because he can't see at night. So the option is going to even make more of a commotion. So therefore, we're much better off during the day when you're just doing it normally as opposed to having a construction site in the middle of the night. People hear, what is all this light and what is all this noise right. And so many people coming and going. So the mitzvah is better during the day than at night. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. To be continued, tomorrow. Have a wonderful